I'm arranging here and trying to get comfortable. Last Sunday at 11:15, I've been preaching from an iPad for 4.5 years. Last Sunday at 11:15, halfway through my message, it rebooted. I wasn't laughing at the time. So I have a new iPad and I'm a new lectern, so I'm trying to get comfortable here. My message this morning is entitled, The Spiritual Gains of Altruism. Do you ever wonder why sometimes people stand by and do nothing when they see other people in need, even though they know they have the means to help them? Well, believe it or not, the same neurological wiring that rewards us for doing good, it can also penalize us when our reptilian instincts sense that we're about to do good for the wrong people. You see, for thousands of years, we humans survived by forming tribes and alliances and communities. And among other things, those communities, they protected and nurtured their members and their neighbors. But they also pillaged, enslaved, and killed outsiders. And as a result, our fight or flight response gets triggered whenever we're around people who we perceive as different, as not a part of our perceived tribe. That's part of why it seems easier for a white liberal middle-aged man to share his umbrella with another white liberal middle-aged man that he's known for years. And why it is much harder for that same white liberal middle-aged man to do the same thing for a young Asian man that he may have never met. We also, of course, hold back on helping others for other reasons. One of those reasons is the less than altruistic message of capitalism. Christine Carter, a sociologist at UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center, says, "We're conditioned to think that life is about pursuing and getting what we want. But the secret to happiness actually lies in giving, not in getting." It's interesting to consider that in our consumeristic society, much of what we assume will make us happy actually provides very little happiness at all. Research consistently shows that spending money on ourselves, whether it's to get the newest smartphone or go on a great vacation, only result in mild and fleeting happiness at best. But research also tells us that spending even a small amount of money on others tends to produce a powerful and lasting sense of joy. Now, another reason that we hold back on helping others is the pace of our lives. It turns out that the more rushed that we feel, the less likely we are to make time for others. But, counterintuitively, according to experiments from researchers at both Yale, Harvard, and even the University of Pennsylvania, making time for others tends to make us feel like we have more time for ourselves. In one of the tests that they ran, a group of college students was asked to spend the last 15 minutes of class grading or correcting essays from at-risk high school students. Now, the other students were let out of class 15 minutes early. Get this, counterintuitively, the students who donated their time for editing the essays later reported feeling as if they had more free time, while the students who were given 15 minutes off felt like they were constrained by time. The simple reality is, when you give something to others, be it food or clothing, shelter, or other goods, the happiness you share with them, well, it comes right back at you. And as our earlier example showed, that's not just some conjecture or strongly held belief. As a matter of fact, Another study at the University of British Columbia involving toddlers showed that young children were found to be much happier giving than when they were receiving. The important part of that study being that the toddlers had not had time to develop biases and prejudices. Those running the study hypothesized that having not been conditioned in those ways, whatever the toddlers felt kind of arose from a place free of biases, and they found that over and over again, consistently, they received more joy in giving than receiving. The reality is, regardless of age or actual personal circumstances, helping others, you gain one important and seemingly simple thing. And that thing is simply feeling good. You may notice that you're smiling more after you do the deed. And because you've received that positive feedback, you're more likely to do it again, basically sort of forming a positive feedback loop. Now, an example of this positive feedback loop comes from a study at Sanja Lombroski, a professor at the University of California at Riverside, who conducted a recent study of 100 employees at Coca-Cola. She designated some of them as givers, asking them to perform regular acts of kindness for their other coworkers. They did this for 16 weeks. For 16 weeks, employees throughout the company kept track of their mood and their stress levels. Ultimately, both the givers and receivers got happier. And the effect went viral. The generosity, the happiness spread throughout the entire workplace, reaching employees who were not even part of the study, and they even extended to their friends and their families back at home. So, spiritually, altruism not only helps give you a more positive outlook on life and on others, but it also helps create a better world. But, let's admit, it is sometimes easier said than done. In Zen Buddhism, there is a tale of a great teacher known as the Tree Roshi. Now, the Tree Roshi lived in a tree, where he stayed secluded and meditated for many, many years. And after he experienced a great awakening, Birds began flocking around him. Not only birds, but people from all over were just sort of drawn to see him. Great groups of people gathered and begged him to come down out of the tree and share his wisdom with them. Finally, he had no choice. So the Tree Roshi climbed down out of the tree, down to the earth, sat with the others and listened to their need. Please, they begged. Tell us, what have you learned? He simply replied, whatever is harmful to you, do not do to another. Whatever would bring you benefit, do to others as well. Disappointed, the people said, is that it? Even an 8-year-old knows that. Yes, said the Tree Roshi. Even an 8-year-old child knows that, but even an 80-year-old man cannot do it. One of the main fruits of all true spiritual practices is kindness. Kindness to others, to ourselves. It's easy to speak and to read about kindness. It's another thing altogether to make it part of who you are. A deep spiritual journey seeks to make kindness part of who you are at all times, in every breath. In Zen practices, part of the goal is to be purified from greed and anger and delusion. Now, the hope in part is that part of the natural outcome of the absence of those things is to perform spontaneous acts of kindness.
In Christianity, the concept of altruism is the only sort of rational response to receiving grace and receiving love. Out of a response to the grace and the love, we respond to others with the same grace and love. Becoming constantly aware of the needs of our neighbors and working with them to fulfill their needs as we can. Now, what cannot be overlooked here is mindfulness. Mindfulness is a classic Buddhist practice that aims to dramatically enhance the way that we live. It's learned and practiced not just in quiet meditation sessions, but also, perhaps even more so, when we are with our families and friends, and as we go about our daily work, in the grocery store, and even on the highway when we're stuck in traffic or someone cuts us off. Buddhist author Silva Bornstein says, Mindfulness is the balanced, ongoing attention to what is happening, physically and mentally, including the mind's perception and reaction. When we are mindful, we will not only see the true outcomes and impact of behavior that's not kind compared to behavior that is kind, but that knowledge will be present with us each and every moment, guiding each and every action. Now mind you, consistent mindfulness is not always possible. We will mess up. We'll yell at the guy who cut us off in traffic. We'll ignore someone in need. But constant mindfulness, constant kindness is the goal. So, true kindness arises from a thoughtful response to grace and love, discipline, and the observance of the outcomes of specific actions. The idea here is that we can ultimately learn to take actions despite our moods, despite our feelings. Another spiritual benefit of altruism is related to gaining a more positive outlook. Not only does it simply make you feel happier, but one of the spiritual benefits of serving others is how your good deed improves your own self-esteem. When you help someone, the recipient of your good deed is typically grateful. And this positive feedback can give you a deep sense of happiness, a deep sense of esteem. You can also enhance that spiritual benefit of the positive feedback by meditating on your accomplishments daily if you are able. When you do meditate on those positive feedbacks, you'll find that you gain better wisdom and a deeper sense of well-being and inner peace. As you meditate on the experience, the positive outlook on yourself and on the world only increases. A number of studies have also indicated that if you want to lead a less stressful life, simply help others. Stress relief is, in fact, one of the most important spiritual benefits of serving others, especially when you consider our modern stressful lifestyles. As you care for others, it takes your mind away from your own worries as you care for the welfare of them. And many studies have actually found that establishing a deep interpersonal connection with others may help many people find relief from their own stress. There's a story of a well-experienced Zen student, the Zen fisherman he's called. He's completed his studies and he comes down from the mountain to mix with the world. If you look for him, you can't find him. He's somewhere in the marketplace with all the other fishermen. The only way you'll know him is that wherever he goes, withered trees burst into bloom, when a person is devoted to purifying their inner world and performing acts of true kindness, then wherever they go, withered people like withered trees bloom. In the end, I have to agree with the Dalai Lama. Kindness. Kindness is the radicalness of our day and age. So, expand your spirituality. Be radical. Practice kindness in every moment and in every breath. Are there those who would like to respond to the message or share your thoughts on the spiritual benefits of altruism?
We have a candidate in the back.
Good morning, I'm Elsie. Mark, you always trigger lots and lots and lots of thoughts. So thank you. I have two things I wanted to say. The first one is something that is about listening, that when we want to be kind, and especially if we get into charity, that we, the farther removed from our own personal frame of reference someone is, the more difficulty we have coming up with, you know, doing something that is actually meaningful to that other person. And this is something as a country we really have fallen into, is that a lot of charity may have nothing to do with what the people we're supposedly helping really want, really need, and we do it internationally. I don't know if we're improved. You know, we used to want to change what people ate, you know, change things. So, and the other thing I wanted to mention is a book that I've maybe mentioned before called The World Until Yesterday, which is by Jared Diamond, and he does a really amazing job of trying to talk about, you know, getting to know people who were still living in tribes. And it is true that the world we live in many ways turns it all upside down, that we're expected to be kind to people we don't know, whereas in many tribal societies, if you came across someone you really didn't recognize, you had to assume they were not there to do you good. So it, you know, it's a real interesting challenge that we have as human beings.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. There are others.
Your message has certainly followed our plan for congregational care.
Absolutely.
Thanks for that.
Are there any others? Right here. David?
Hello, I'm Rebecca. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
There it goes. I was actually talking a little bit about this topic with a counselor this week, and I very much enjoy, you know, doing for other people and, you know, being as generous as I can and that type of thing. But when I was, you know, speaking with her about how difficult it can be to be in a position to not really have, you know, the money or the time or what have you to help others as much as I would like to be able to. And so she was saying that sometimes just giving a smile to someone, you know, if that's all you have to give that day, then that's enough. And that really, you know, struck a chord with me and was something that I think I'll be remembering going forward, that, you know, that if that's what I can give, then
Absolutely.
That's what I can give.
Absolutely. Are there any others who have something they'd like to share?
I'd like to mention this book that I was talking about, Kitchen Table Wisdom, has lots and lots of stories about basically what you're saying. People just being kind to each other is all that's needed, or what really helpful.
In little contrast to what Elsie was saying, I think it's just so remarkable that our Hebrew tradition was one of welcoming the stranger.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm really just echoing what Rebecca said, that and seeing Kate here, when I call the church and I have a cheerful voice. Mm-hmm. On the other end, I mean, we can do such little things that can help each other keep our spirits.
True. Even a stranger, you don't know.
We don't.
A smile may have been the only thing they needed that day.
So, that's thank you for all of that thought.